ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 18 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड दीति वोज टू किल किंग इंद्रा टेक्स्ट नंबर 50। नो चेष्टा स्पृष्ट सलिला संध्याया मुक्त मूर्धजा अनर्चिता सम्यत वाक् नासं वीता बहिश्चरेत्। नो चेष्टा स्पृष्ट सलिला संध्यायां मुक्तमूर्धजा अनर्चिता सम्यत वाक् नासं वीता बहिश्चरेत्। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन नॉट ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation: after eating, you should not go out to the street without having washed your mouth, hands and feet. You should not go out in the evening or with your hair loose, nor should you go out unless you are properly decorated with ornaments. You should not leave the house unless you are very grave and are sufficiently covered. Purport: Kashyapa Muni advised his wife not to go onto the street unless she was well decorated and well dressed. He did not encourage the mini skirts that are now become fashionable. In Oriental civilization, when a woman goes out onto the street, she must be fully covered so that no man will recognize who she is. All these methods are to be accepted for purification. If one takes to Krishna consciousness, one is fully purified and thus one remains always transcendental to the contamination of the material world. So I seek the blessings of all the devotees, senior devotees here, so that I can speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. So translation: after eating, you should not go out to the street without having washed your mouth, hands and feet. You should not go out in the evening or with your hair loose, nor should you go out unless you are properly decorated with ornaments. You should not leave the house unless you are very grave and are sufficiently covered. So here Kashyapa Muni is continuing his instructions to Mother Diti on how to perform the austerities so that she can beget a child. So Bhaktitirtha Maharaj writes in his book, he gives an example of Sufis. The Sufi tradition, there is an interesting analogy that suppose the thief comes to your house, how a person would respond to the thief. Suppose you come to know that a thief has entered your house, then like thief may be coming with a knife, so you may go with a knife to attack the thief. But later on you may realize that the thief may be having a, realize that thief is having a gun. So then maybe if you go with a gun, you realize that maybe thief will be having a machine gun. Then suppose if you go with a machine gun, then you come to know that there are 3-4 persons who are having machine guns. They have come to rob the house. So one of the solution which the Sufis provide is you just switch on the light in the room. So when you switch on the light, normally in general thief they may want to avoid confrontation. So they see, oh, somebody is awake in the room, so they may want to avoid robbing in that particular house. So they may go to some other house where there is no light, people are sleeping. So similarly, when a person, if a person comes to the platform of true knowledge, if a person takes to Krishna consciousness, then one can actually overcome the effects of Maya. Like sometimes when people take to Krishna consciousness, like initially some devotees ask what all should be avoided, we should avoid eating meat. Like they concentrate on the negatives so much without putting so much effort on the positives. But if we just increase the Krishna consciousness, then when a person comes to the right knowledge, then one will be purified of all the contamination. Automatically all the negative elements will go away from a person. So here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, if one takes to Krishna consciousness, one is fully purified, and thus one remains always transcendental to the contamination of the material world. So we will see certain verses about how when a person takes to devotional service or Krishna consciousness, then one becomes fully purified and then one gets the complete guarantee of going back to Godhead. So in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning, so Parikshit Maharaj was asking a question to Sukadev Goswami, because at the end of the fifth canto, Parikshit Maharaj heard about the description of the hellish planets. So Parikshit Maharaj, because he was a compassionate Vaishnava, he wanted to know how the persons in the hellish planets can be delivered. So he asked Sukadev Goswami about how these persons can be delivered. And Sukadev Goswami initially started describing about the prayaschitta process, that one should perform atonement. If one performs atonement, then one will not get the sinful reactions. And then, but Parikshit Maharaj was not satisfied with his answer, because when he was ruling the kingdom, he was seeing so many persons who were caught, who were imprisoned, and then they were released and they again started committing sinful activities. So Parikshit Maharaj, he asked, please tell something more, because just the process of atonement cannot stop a person from committing sinful activities. Then Sukadev Goswami described about the Jnanakanda process. He told about practicing brahmacharya and reading the scriptures and practicing austerities, etc. So then it was more satisfying, but still Parikshit Maharaj was not satisfied, because all these processes may purify a person, but still the propensity to perform the sinful activities will not go away from the heart of a person. So then Sukadev Goswami understood Parikshit Maharaj's intention, Parikshit Maharaj's desire. Then Sukadev Goswami spoke a very famous verse. Sukadev Goswami spoke, Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agam dunvanti kasyena niharam iva bhaskara. Sukadev Goswami said that a person who is vasudeva parayana, that one who is completely attached to the lotus feet of Lord Vasudev, when he performs devotional service, all his sinful activities are completely washed away, just by the mere appearance of sun, appearance of the first rays of sun, the fog is completely destroyed. Niharam. So, we can see that the Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami in the purport, and he describes about the process of devotional service. So, the bhakti is classified into two types. One is the santata bhakti and the kadachitki bhakti. The santata bhakti is the devotional service that continues incessantly with faith and love. And kadachitki bhakti is devotional service that does not continue incessantly but is sometimes awakened. And that is further classified into three levels. The highest level of kadachitki bhakti is the devotional service in which one is almost attached to the Supreme Lord. And then the second level is the devotional service in which there is no spontaneous love, but one likes the constitutional position of serving. But then the lowest level of the kadachitki bhakti is the abhasa rupa bhakti. That is, the devotional service the glimpse, the platform in which one gets a glimpse of devotional service. So here Srila Prabhupada mentions that even when a person is on the Abhasarupa Bhakti, or when one gets a slight glimpse of a devotional service, even then one will be completely purified of all the sinful activities. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Damodar Prabhu was sharing one nice verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Narada Muni was actually, when Narada Muni preached to Mrugari, so then after some years, Narada Muni went to visit Mrugari along with his friend Parvatamuni. So that time when he went to visit Mrugari, he saw that Mrugari was actually driving away the ants which are there on the path. So it was a great surprise for Parvatamuni. So that time Narada Muni told the hunter Mrugari, said, Narada kahe vyada ai nai haya ascharya hari bhakte himsa shunya haya sadhu varya. So Narada Muni said, O hunter, it is not at all astonishing that you are behaving in such a wonderful manner. In fact, any person who is actually on the platform of devotional service is actually the best of gentlemen. So Mrugari was previously, he was taking pleasure in half killing the animals, but he transformed so much. Here Narada Muni is calling him as Sadhu Varya. So we hear Prahlad Maharaj addressing Hiranyakashipu as Asura Varya, oh best among the Asuras. Here Narada Muni is calling Mrugari as Sadhu Varya, oh best among the Sadhus, the best of the gentlemen. So then the second principle is the devotional service not only purifies oneself, but when a person takes to devotional service, it has the power to purify the whole world. So Parikshit Maharaj, the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he glorifies the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj says, Pravishta karna randrena svanambhava saroruham dunoti shamalam krishna salilasya yata sharat. Parikshit Maharaj says, when the sound incarnation of Krishna or the Srimad Bhagavatam enters the heart of a liberated person, and then when it enters and sits in the lotus of his loving relationship with the Supreme Lord, it cleanses one of the material hankering such as lust, greed, anger. And just like, he says, he gives an interesting analogy. He says that just like the autumnal rains fully cleanse the muddy waters, similarly, the sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam fully cleanses the whole world. So Srila Prabhupada gives a wonderful purport. He says that in the rainy season, all the rivers become muddy, they become contaminated with mud. But then when the autumnal rains come, all the reservoirs all over the world they become cleansed. Whereas if you use a chemical to cleanse, you can only cleanse a small tank, but the autumnal rains, they have the power to cleanse the waters in all the reservoirs. So similarly, the other process of purification such as jnana, yoga and all, they can only purify only that particular person. But a single pure devotee has the power to purify the whole world. In fact, when Prabhupada told about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, said Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a great acharya, but he has the power to purify the whole world. He could have preached to the whole world, but he wanted to give credit to us, so he left this service for us, thinking that we should take the credit. Then once Prabhupada told his disciples that if you simply have 100% faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can actually transform the whole world in 18 days. So a single pure devotee has the power to purify the whole world. Not only that, here we also see the power of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And the power of, when we hear the glories of the Supreme Lord, it cleanses the person and then it cleanses the whole world. That's why some people are criticizing Prabhupada, telling Prabhupada that your disciples are like bookworms. They are all the time distributing books or reading books. So Prabhupada said, if you are not bookworms, then you will become stool worms. So, similarly, once one devotee came and told Prabhupada that actually my guru is God because I was a drunkard before and now I am not a drunkard. Prabhupada said that then if that is the logic to define who is God, then I am 1,000 times more God because I have delivered so many people who were drunkards before. The single pure devotee has the power to purify the whole world. Then the second principle is, when a person takes to devotional service, it gives full satisfaction. It completely satisfies the person. So Parishit Maharaj says, Dautatma Purusha Krishna Padamulam Namunchati Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Pantasva Sharanam Yata. So Parishit Maharaj says, when a person who is completely cleansed of all the material contamination, when he takes to devotional service, he never leaves the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And such a person, just like a traveler, he gets complete satisfaction when he returns home after a troubled journey. Similarly, when a person comes to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he feels complete satisfaction. So Prabhupada explains why the devotees don't leave the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Because we see that there are great devotees like Nityanand Prabhu and Jesus Christ, Prahlad Maharaj. They underwent so many difficulties during the devotional practices, but still they never left the process of devotional service. What is the thing which actually gives them the inspiration to go on with their devotional service? Prabhupada says, first, a devotee feels transcendental pleasure because the Lord is satisfied by his devotional service. Because he feels transcendental pleasure, because when a person is getting some higher happiness, so he will not leave that particular activity. So because they are getting the transcendental pleasure, so they don't leave the service, although there are so many difficulties. The second reason is that the jnanis and yogis, if you see the jnanis and yogis, they ultimately give up their own processes of purification. But a devotee never leaves the process of devotional service. Because jnanis and yogis, they don't get full satisfaction. Just like, suppose, we advertise in a Sunday feast program, we see suppose the kitchen in charge advertises that after the Sunday feast program, everyone will be allowed to only smell the feast which is cooked in for Sunday feast. So, okay, devotees may come for Sunday feast and then they are only allowed to smell the prasadam, they are not even allowed to look at the prasadam. So, they just smell and then go away. But then next time onwards, not many people will come. And then suppose we advertise that, okay, at the end of the Sunday feast, one will be given only darshan of the prasadam, darshan of the wonderful feast which is prepared. So, one may get some satisfaction by seeing the darshan of the feast, but still one may not be satisfied. It is just like when a person gets Brahman realization, it is just like taking only the smell of the prasadam. So, one felt some satisfaction, but then it does not fully satisfy the person. So, that is why he leaves the impersonalist, they leave the process, they again fall down to the material platform. Even the yogis, they may realize the Paramatma feature, but they may be having mystic powers, but still they are not fully satisfied. It is just like taking only the darshan of the feast which is cooked, but it does not fully satisfy the person. That is why we see great yogis like Vishwamitra and others, they also fall down. But when a person tastes the full prasadam, which is prepared with love and devotion, then he becomes completely satisfied, then he comes again and again. Similarly, when a person realizes the personal feature of the Supreme Lord, because he gets complete satisfaction of the personal qualities of the Supreme Lord, then he never leaves the process of devotional service. So then the third reason which Prabhupada gives is, just like a traveler after a troubled journey, when he comes home, when he remembers the family affection, then he forgets all the difficulties he underwent during the journey. Similarly, a devotee is united with the Supreme Lord exactly in a family tie. So he is undeterred in his devotional service. Like, you also remember, like, when we went to the Aiways Yatra, during that time there was heavy monsoon rain. So the trains were like 10 hours delayed, and then we had to sleep somewhere in the platform. So devotees were just looking for when we will reach the temple. So although it was raining heavily, as soon as we reached the temple, like, we were completely satisfied, we reached home. So similarly, a devotee, because he is united with the Supreme Lord in a family tie, so he is undeterred in his performance of devotional service. Then somebody may say, okay, your devotee never leaves devotional service, but we see that some people take to devotional service and then they leave the devotional service after some time. So in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni is saying that even a fallen devotee in Krishna consciousness, he also is never unsuccessful. He also never loses anything. In fact, Narada Muni tells to Vyasadeva that you should actually glorify the Supreme Personality of God, and you should write one literature which directly glorifies the Supreme Lord. Then he says that even a materially attached person should be elevated to the platform of transcendental realization. Then somebody may ask, what if he preaches the materially attached person, then what if he actually falls down from the platform of devotional service, then what will happen to him? So then Narada Muni says, Tyaktva svadharmam charanambujam harer bhajan apakvota pate tato yadi yatrakva vabudramabudamashyakim kovata apto bhajatam svadharmatah. So Narada Muni says, when a person gives up his occupational duties, like a student, or he may give up his occupational duties towards his parents, and when he takes up to the devotional service, but then when he fall, because of his apakva, bhajan apakva, because of his immature devotional service, because of that, when he actually falls down from the platform of devotional service, then even if he falls down, still there is no loss for him. On the other hand, if a person may perfectly perform all the prescribed duties, then what is the use of performing all the prescribed duties if one does not take to the devotional service? So then, Prabhupada gives the example of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, he fell down from the platform of devotional service because of neglect and because of lack of association with the devotees. And then Chitraketu Maharaj fell down because of offenses to Lord Shiva. And then Ajamil fell down from his position because of some accident. But although all these persons fell down, but ultimately because they had taken to devotional service, so they again came back to the original platform. And then they went back to garden. And then Narada Muni continues his instruction. He says, who is actually a really intelligent person? A really intelligent person is one who actually looks for happiness which is not there within the three planetary systems. He says, Tasyaiva heto prayate tako vido nalabhyate yad brahmatam uparyadaha tallabhyate dukkavadanyata sukam kalena sarvatra gabira ramhasa. Says that the really intelligent person or a person who is philosophically inclined, he never looks for anything which is available from the topmost planet to the lowest planet. So, on the other hand, he says that the sense enjoyment, the happiness which is obtained from sense gratification, is obtained automatically, just like one gets distress without being asked for. Similarly, one gets happiness without being asked for. So, once His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining in a lecture how in this material world people are giving an illusion that it is such a happy place. So, once there was an advertisement, the advertisement was, they were showing, there was a billboard for advertising for sleeping, some mattresses, like how you can sleep in a comfortable mattress. So it is described that this, if you buy this mattress, it will be like a, you will sleep as comfortable as you are there in the womb. So, but here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives actual information how actually the sufferings go on in the womb of a mother. So once Prabhupada was in Mexico, so devotees were saying that there were so many mosquitoes, and mosquitoes were biting all the persons. One devotee was commenting, Prabhupada, there are so many mosquitoes, mosquitoes are biting everyone, but mosquitoes are not biting you. And Prabhupada said, this may be the case here, but in Calcutta, the mosquitoes don't spare anyone. It does not discriminate. So Prabhupada was never compromising on the truth that the material world is a place of misery. So even once, so then the Narad Muni continues, in the next verse, he compares a devotee's fall down with a karmi's fall down. He says, when a person who takes the devotional service, when he falls down, he will actually, he says that such a person, there is no loss for him, because he has once relished the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he will actually again and again, he will do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. So Prabhupada says about when an orphan, like when a devotee who falls down from the platform of devotional service, is like a son of a big king. He may also be suffering like an orphan, but a normal orphan in the street, he may be suffering, but a son of a king, he may be also suffering like an orphan, but he is under the direct vigilance of a capable king, because he will be elevated to the same position. And what is the destination of a person when he falls down from the platform of devotional service? When a person falls down, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that he will actually take birth in the family of rich persons. Or when a person is still more advanced, then he will take birth in a family of highly qualified brahmanas. But then both the persons are unfortunate, because they may again forget the lotus feet of the Lord. Then the most fortunate person who falls down from the devotional service is one who is put in a forlorn condition, one whose possessions are taken away, and when relatives and family members, when they completely reject him, when such a person feeling completely helpless, he again returns to the lotus feet of the Lord. So in this way, although a devotee falls down, but Supreme Lord, Krishna makes arrangements so that he again comes back to the original position. So then, Prabhupada makes another statement in the purport, says that all these methods are to be accepted for purification. So, Prabhupada is describing about the culture. So the purpose of all these do's and don'ts one should follow is because all these methods are to be accepted for purification. So any endeavor in this world, any endeavor we undertake, it contains three elements. First of all, any endeavor which undertake, it has a particular goal. And then, there is a specific process to undergo that endeavor. And then, there is a culture in which we actually execute the endeavor. Like for example, suppose one wants to become a cricket player, then there is a If the goal is to become a cricket player, then there is a particular process. Like you have to get training in a particular academy, and like you have to like do exercises, and so many things are there. And there is a particular culture also. You have to have the association of fellow-minded, the same equal-minded people. Or if you want to, even if you want to join, say, some AIIMS or something, if that is the goal, then the process is that you have to join a course, and then you have to study regularly so many hours a day. Then you have to have a particular culture. Even eating habits also have to be taken care of, and your other habits have to be taken care of. So for any endeavor, all these three elements are there. So similarly, if the goal is to become purified and go back to Godhead, then one has to adopt a certain process, that is devotional service, and one has to follow a certain culture. So the downfall of Indian culture, the Vedic culture, is because people have forgotten the goal. When the person forgets the goal is to go back to Godhead, then when one forgets the goal, only the rituals remain, then when the processes remain, then it becomes only a ritual. So when people don't know the goal, then they actually think, oh, all these are to be accepted as blindly. These are some kind of a superficial practice. So then they stop practicing the religious practices. So we see here, in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna was entering Dwaraka, it is described, Rajamargam gate Krishne Dwarakya kulastriya harmyam aruruhur vipra tad ikshanamahotsava. When Krishna was entering the streets of Dwaraka, the ladies of Dwaraka went to the house, went to the top of the palaces, and then they were having the darshan of the Lord. So it is described tad ikshana mahotsava. So it was the greatest festival for the ladies of Dwaraka just to have a darshan of the Supreme Lord. So this practice is still followed in India. So we see in great festivals like Janmashtami and Julan Yatra, men and women, they come just to have a darshan of the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada says that festivities in the temple of the Lord, as held generally, they are like festivals performed during the manifestive days of Lord at Dwaraka. So when we participate in the festivals such as Janmashtami, Radhashtami and all, it is exactly like participating in the festivals held during when Lord was manifest in this material world. And then Prabhupada says that ladies are men who observe festivals just to have a look at the Lord, they are thousand times better than the non-believers. Politicians, they criticize about that, like, Ram has not built the bridge. They're criticizing Lord Ram. Like, such people who don't believe, like, even the simple women or men who believe in the Supreme Lord, they are thousand times more better than these powerful politicians. So during the Vedic culture, because the goal was to worship the Supreme Lord, so they were going to have a darshan of the Supreme Lord. But because now in the present day modern culture, because the goal is forgotten, they don't know what is the goal, but the process has remained. So the process remains, so they are going to have darshan of the cricket players. And they are going to glorify such cricket players. So we see, there was a story, once a camel was getting married. So different animals were coming and giving the gifts to camel. So one donkey was coming, so donkey did not carry any gift. So donkey came, then told the camel that, oh, you are so beautiful, you are thousand times more beautiful than the other animals. Then the camel said, oh, your voice is so sweet. So similarly, the people who went to glorify and have darshan of these modern celebrities, they are like this donkeys and camels. And so then we see, and Prabhupada tells about how in the modern culture people don't follow the principles. So then we see some examples of how people who are elevated in Krishna consciousness, how they behave. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti, she expresses her humility. The culture of humility is expressed by Queen Kunti. She says, Nama paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yogam vidhanartam katam pashyemahi striyah. So Queen Kunti says, she's praying to Lord Krishna, you descend to actually give devotional service to the paramahamsas, the topmost transcendentalists, and the munis, who are the mental speculators, who are expert in discriminating between matter and spirit. Then how can we, women who are less intelligent, how can we understand about you? So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, women in general, they are unable to speculate like the big philosophers, but they believe at once in the authority of the Supreme Lord. So then Prabhupada says that even in any religious function, women assemble in great numbers. In any country or any caste or creed, they assemble in great numbers. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was giving an example. Once he went to Borivali for a Mahat Satsang program. So he went for the program. It was like 1,000 people were there. More than 90%, 95% of people were women. Only 5% of people were men. Then he was asked the devotees, what is happening? Why hardly any men are there for the program? Then the devotees were saying that today there is actually a cricket match between India and Pakistan. So that's why so many men were so less. And then after some time, when there was a like sound of firecrackers, and immediately so many people came, so many men came after the India won the match. So we see this is one of the qualities of women. They believe at once in the authority of the Supreme Lord. Then Srila Prabhupada says, this simplicity of acceptance of Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. So Krishna likes the simplicity of accepting the Lord's authority than just some showy religious behavior. So we see that sometimes Prabhupada writes in the purpose like women are less intelligent, but if we see how Prabhupada dealt with women, like that is completely astonishing. Once this Vishakha Mataji, she was giving her memories, when she was given the service to take photograph of Prabhupada. So she was sitting very close to Prabhupada's dais to take Prabhupada's to take photographs of Prabhupada. She was sitting close. Prabhupada was actually singing Radha Madhav, and his eyes were closed. So she was told to take photograph, and Prabhupada's eyes are open. So then she was waiting for a long time. So after some time, some sannyasis, they pushed her that should move out of this place. This is a place for sannyasis to sit. So then Prabhupada opened his eyes and he gave a stern look at the sannyasis. So how, giving the look that, so you should not actually push the people. So Prabhupada, although he writes that like women are less intelligent, but he dealt with women with great respect and So on the other hand, we see the exact opposite in the modern world. In the modern world, people, they say that they ask for, they propagate that, oh, the Hare Krishna people are telling like that, but they say like women have to be given freedom, but they actually they are exploiting the opposite sect. So this is the difference between Srila Prabhupada and the modern so-called people who actually advocate women's liberation. And then, so this is the culture of humility. We also see how Prabhupada expresses his humility time and again. So Prabhupada once one disciple was went to UNESCO library, then he found one book called, it contained poems of Chandidas. So he brought that book, and Prabhupada saw those books, saw these poems, and then Prabhupada told this devotee, Yogeshwar Prabhu, Prabhupada said that he told a story that once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was reading this book, then he went to his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, said that, you must publish this book. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, no, you should not publish this book because it contains esoteric pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Then again Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you must publish this book. Bhaktivinoda Thakur again declined. Then he again went for the third time and Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, okay, you publish this book, but you should publish only one copy for yourself. Then Prabhupada told this devotee, where are the great souls who can actually understand such esoteric literatures? Then this devotee said, you are that great soul, Prabhupada. You can read those literature. Prabhupada said, no, I am not so great to understand, to read those literatures. So we see here Prabhupada also expresses the humility. And Queen Kunti, she is the most successful woman, most successful of all women, because she had the direct association of Krishna, and Krishna personally came to help Queen Kunti in so many of her troubles. In fact, Queen Kunti's prayers are one of the most famous prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then she is considered, but she calls herself to be less intelligent. This is the culture of humility of the devotees. Then the second principle is the culture of dependence. So the other example of Sukadev Goswami, Sukadev Goswami is the most elevated transcendentalist. So Sukadev Goswami, before starting to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, he offers a wonderful series of prayers asking for the blessings of the Supreme Lord. So Sukadev Goswami offers, he says, Bhutair Mahadbir Yayima Puro Vibur Nirmayashete Yadamushu Purushah Bhungte Gunan Sodasha Sodashatmakah Solankrishta Bhagavan Vachamsime. Sukadev Goswami is saying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he enlivens the material bodies of the living entities simply by lying down within the universe. So we see here in the corporate world, when a person grows in the corporate ladder, from a software engineer to project leader, project manager, when a person comes to CEO, he works so hard. He has to work. One devotee was saying that one of the number one corporate lady in India, her schedule is that she works for almost 14 hours, 15 hours a day. But here, Sukadev Goswami is saying the Supreme Lord is just creating the material bodies of the living entities simply by lying down within the universe. So this is the power of the Supreme Lord. And then he says that he as the Purusha incarnation, by expanding himself as the Purusha incarnation, he actually causes the living entities to be subjected to the 16-fold material modes. So in that way, the living entity comes under the modes of material nature, and then they take the material bodies so that they get an opportunity to perform devotional service in this material world. So then Sukadev Goswami says that, so may that Supreme Lord be pleased to decorate my statements. So Sukadev Goswami is saying that he is not only praying that the Supreme Lord, please give me the power, please decorate my statements so that I can speak the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj and all the assembled sages here. Not only that, he is also praying that all the assembled people, they can also understand the statements of mine. So in this way, although Sukadev Goswami is the highest, topmost transcendentalist, he is depending on the Supreme Lord so that the Supreme Lord decorates his statements and also gives the power to the hearers so that they can understand his statements. So this is the culture of dependence. So, to wind up, so we saw today how when a person takes to devotional service, it completes one sins are completely eradicated. We quoted this famous verse from the sixth canto, how just at the appearance of a sun, the fog is just at the first rays of the sun, the fog is completely destroyed. Similarly, just by the Abbas Rupa, just by the glimpse of devotional service, all one sins are completely vanquished. And then the second principle is, a single pure devotee has the capacity to deliver the whole world. Just like the autumnal rains, they cleanse the reservoirs of water all over the world. Whereas a chemical can only cleanse a small reservoir of water like a tank. And then we quoted this verse that when a person takes to devotional service, he gets complete satisfaction. Just like a traveler, after a troubled journey, when he comes home, he is completely satisfied. Then we also saw that even a person who leaves devotional service, there is no loss for him, because he cannot forget that the ecstasy experiences, the happiness he experienced by serving the Supreme Lord. And then we told about why the do's and don'ts are to be accepted. Why the people actually deviate from the culture of the Vedic culture. Because they forget the goal. When the person forgets the goal, then they forget the culture also. They find no meaning in practicing the culture. Then we gave this example of how when the ladies of Dwaraka, when they were receiving Lord Krishna, they were considering that to be the greatest festival, but the same thing is replaced in the modern world by people going to see the cricket stars. Then we finally told about these two principles in the culture of Krishna consciousness, the culture of humility and the culture of dependence of Queen Kunti and Sukadeva Goswami. Since it is already time, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.